It's cold out there, isn't it? Took my walk this morning, and it was fine going that way with the wind at my back. And then I turned around and came this way, the wind at my face. Whole different story. Some might say that my walk really began not here, but when I started the walk back. Where does the walk begin? It's a good question. We come this morning to a scripture that sort of marks the beginning of the mission, the ministry of Jesus. It's a story that is told in Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's one that's really omitted in John's gospel, though some of the words are still there. This is where Mark's gospel begins his story. He doesn't tell anything about all this Christmas stuff. He begins here with the baptism of Jesus. And you sort of are thinking as you're reading Mark's gospel, you know, it's this moment that these two words somehow become united. You know, Jesus and Christ. Because Mark's gospel, like Matthew's and Luke's, talks about sonship. Only in Mark's gospel, it's not the voice saying, "This is my son," but it's very personal. "You are my son." That's how it's remembered by Mark. So that moment coming out of the water is like the beginning. The beginning. Of course, Matthew and Luke, they go back a little bit further. Like all of us, we know there's more to the story than that very moment that we said yes to God. Now, I know some of us, as we think of our baptisms, we consider that somewhat of a real birthday, our real beginning. And yet God was at work long before that moment in time. As Matthew and Mark make very plain. Because both tell the story of a little baby. And all baby doesn't know anything about saying yes or making concrete steps. Can't even walk. Basically dependent upon somebody else for just about everything. Something we remembered last month. A beginning that goes back a little bit further. Was this baby the Christ, the Messiah? Well, yes, say Luke and Matthew. Where do things begin? You turn to John's gospel, and John, as I have said a few times before, John doesn't go back to the moment that this baby breathed his first, or even when he was in his mother's womb, or even when that moment when something happened and God and, well, we won't go into that, God and Mary. John goes all the way back to the beginning. And you hear echoes of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. Word? Word? Jesus Christ. Going back all the way. Beyond a horizon we can only just imagine. A lot of theology, I know. Trying to figure, you know, who really raises questions of when do things really begin? But in a way, it matters for us because we all got to start somewhere. Sometimes it's a matter of we all got to restart somewhere. Where does it begin? Does it begin the moment you say yes to God? Does it begin the moment you step into the waters of baptism? Does it begin the moment you step out of the water of baptism? Now, remember this story of Jesus. And we always got to put these stories kind of in their larger context. What happened with Jesus after he left the water, the waters of baptism? Where did he go? What? The wilderness. He headed out into, he turned around. It's sort of like turning around at the end of Long Green and heading back into the wind. 40 days, 40 nights. We often say after our baptism that that's the time when the tempter is the most active. I would beg to differ. I think the tempter is active all the time. There are things we got to face each and every day. In the life of the church, in some higher church circles, we call this day in the lectionary baptism of our Lord Sunday. We recognize this beginning. We recognize on this particular day that Jesus was not just a baby. He was not just a youngster. We recognize that he was Lord of all, as we sang in a very first hymn. That from this moment in time, you know, he was heading in a particular direction. A lot of it right straight into the wind. Did Jesus need to be forgiven? That's what the baptism of John was about, wasn't it? For repentance? Did Jesus need to be forgiven for anything? No. Although it's interesting, this week I did some reading into some of the gospel stories. I'm not sure I'd call them gospel stories, the word that used gospel. The stories of Jesus that didn't make it into the New Testament. You know that there are lots of those out there. We've got them in fragments here and there. A lot of these stories. I am so thankful for what we call the canonical process, the process that these elders of the church who prayerfully over a couple hundred years were trying to decide what belongs in and what belongs out, because there's a whole lot that didn't make it into the New Testament. Do you know that? And there's a number of stories about Jesus' childhood that I am so glad did not make them in there. Do you want to hear a few? Yeah, you do? There's this one where, well, as I read these stories, forgive me, you know, I hear, and I'm glad they didn't make it, because when I hear these stories, I hear a kind of a divine brat. Jesus was very human, according to these persons. There's one story where, you know, he was playing in the dirt and stuff, and he kind of created some animals and things like this in a little lake and that had water in it and stuff like this. And another kid came along. I mean, you can imagine this happens all the time. Came along and just kind of, yeah, knocked it all down and stuff. And you know what Jesus did in this story? Well, the kid got sick. It's sort of like something like little kids would like to do. You know, you do that, well, I'm going to get you sick. Whatever. And, you know, there's also several stories about him and teachers. You know, there were rabbis who came up to Joseph. And these rabbis would say, you know, they recognize something here with this child. And Joseph was but a carpenter, and they'd come up to him, "Do you want me to help in teaching him Hebrew?" You know, he did teach, you know, sure. And so they'd go to work, and Jesus didn't take their discipline all too well. You know, he would question them when they were teaching him the alphabet. You know, the A's, B's, ABCs. You know, he would start questioning them, "Do you know what Alpha really means? Do you know Aleph?" That's in Hebrew. You know, I'll listen to you when you tell me what that really means. And in some cases, some of these teachers got a little bit indignant at this, and some of them got sick also. I am so glad those did not make it into the New Testament. Now, I'm sure you'll probably remember some of these stories more than you'll remember some of the other stuff I said, say this morning. But no, that was but some persons in the legends trying to get across the point that Jesus was very human. And I'm glad that in the Gospels as we have them, we've sort of left out that portion of his life. Because in some ways we can insert our own. Because the scripture says he was tempted in every way as we are. You know, he walked a path similar to ours. Unlike him, there are things that we need to let go of. There are things we need to set aside. And it's not just a matter of so that we will be all nice and perfect and all. It's that some of these things that we carry with us in life are things that weigh us down. They're things that can really enslave us. And they're things that we need to turn from. We need to repent of. And that's one thing that baptism does. And for those of you who have been baptized, I encourage you to remember your baptism. To think back on that. And probably as you think back upon your own baptism, maybe you're thinking of some things you still need to let go of. And that's a way in which your baptism is not something you have to repeat over and over again. That's a way in which your baptism can keep having that effect upon you. You know, of letting things go. You know, your doubts, your fears. Letting go the things that can tempt you to move in the wrong direction. Instead of moving towards the horizon that God is encouraging you to move toward. And sometimes moving in that direction is like heading straight into the wind, and you're sore tempted to turn around and say, no. Now, when I turned into the wind, I got about halfway up, and I was thinking, oh, man, my lips are going to be frozen by the time I get up here. I won't be able to preach this morning. And I could have turned around, and maybe some of you wished I had, because I would have been way down the road. Wouldn't have gotten back here. Forgiven. We are forgiven. Allow that to permeate your being. That's how baptism is still a part of your life. Allowing you to kind of let go of the things that need to be released today. Not just back then, but now. But I got to tell you something else about baptism. Baptism is not just about forgiveness. Definitely wasn't so for Jesus. And because, you know, he was baptized and we are baptized in his name, it is true for us as well. Baptism was for Jesus the moment of his commissioning. When God kind of consecrated him for the task that lay ahead. And for him, that was a task that was heading straight into the wind. Baptism is for us a commissioning as well. What does it say in our bulletin about who the ministers of this church are? Who are the ministers of this church? Am I the minister, the only one here? Who are the ministers of this church? You are. We all are. Everyone who has said yes to God and kind of stepped into the waters and stepped out of the waters, you're commissioned. Now, you may not be commissioned to do stuff within, you know, the confines of this building, the limitations of these walls or this fellowship. Your ministry may be, in fact, where you live and work. It is nonetheless ministry. Your baptism commissions you for that task. You are anointed. I mean, don't you call yourself a Christian? What does Christian mean? Christ means the anointed one. What is a Christian? Someone is anointed. And if you're anointed, anointing is not just a, you know, just pouring oil over your head or whatever just for the sake of being anointed, you know. It's not like a back rub. Anointed is a commissioning. It's a consecrating. It's a, you know, the kings were anointed back in Bible times for leadership. Called anointed. That's you. And you'll leave it there. Baptism. You are forgiven. You are commissioned. Don't forget that. Especially when you're heading into the wind.